Good evening, everybody. This is Josh. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh and Jen.
Hello,
see,
Ed.
See how we should do this is Josh, you open with good evening, Jennifer, and then Jennifer, good evening's me, and then I, good evening, Josh, and it's like some kind of circle.
I was actually going to go for that, but then Josh jumped in saying something else, so well, there you go.
All right, here we go. We'll start again. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast. We are your hosts, Josh, Jen, and Ed. And this is episode 3 of Gleeful, where we will be discussing... 4. Episode 4?
Yeah, 4. Episode 4.
I just shot the hand in front of his face.
I said episode 3, and then Jennifer throws 4 fingers in front of me, but one of them has a giant bandage on it, and so I honestly wasn't sure what you were trying to tell me. So welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast, episode 4. We will be discussing episode 4 of the Fox show Glee, entitled Preggers. The drama continues, is my own little... subtitle there. Once again, we are our hosts. This is Josh and Jen in California and Ed in Indiana. How are you tonight, Ed?
I'm doing well. It's so like you're like, we're from California, Indiana. It's just so sad. But I'm doing great. It's been awesome. And how about yourself?
It's seriously, Josh? 20 degrees cooler in Indiana, I assure
I
you.
I would fly there right now if I could. It's 104 at 6:15 in the evening here.
Are you ridiculous? Hold on. Now I'm checking my weather because now you got me curious. It's on my iGoogle, so it'll only take as long as Google loads.
It's seriously like, and we record in the loft, as we say on our show quite often. We record in a loft, so it's really hot up here.
But, I mean, we're only 2 weeks away from our wedding, so it's a good way to, you know, sput off the extra little
pounds.
There you
go. A very good point. You're always thinking.
I didn't realize it was that close. I thought it wasn't till October.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks from tomorrow we get married, yeah.
I was like, I thought it wasn't until October.
We'll Skype you in, Ed. It'll be fun.
No. Well, if you want to, I'll watch.
We'll flash jazz hands in our wedding video.
There you go.
In honor of you.
Amazing.
So, welcome to Gleeful. Let's talk a bit about Preggers, episode 4 of Glee. The plot kind of continues for all of the characters. We have, Will Schuster's wife continuing to pretend that she's pregnant. We have Will trying to spread some of the work around at the club, or in Glee. So, Rachel Berry is, not getting a solo, causing her to defect. Which is partially due to a big, Sue Sylvester's new plot to destroy the Glee Club by what?
Just tearing them apart and, taking away their good members.
Yeah, exactly. By blackmailing the principal into letting Sandy be the director, artistic director of the school. And then we also have another, probably the most unexpected subplot. Which I think was a subplot for 10 minutes before I realized it wasn't a joke. Or a dream sequence was Quinn is apparently pregnant and claiming that it has been shot.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay. I thought it was like, it was going to be a dream sequence.
I thought it was his nightmare or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally thought Finn was stressing out about all the pressures between football and Glee and everything. And just thought that, yeah.
So a lot going on in this episode, as seems to be the trend of the last 2 episodes. Ed, what was your read on episode 4? How did you feel about it, generally?
Well, like, I was already in love with it as it was. So I will say that I was probably apprehensive because it was just so good at the beginning that I was like, there's no way they can keep it up. But clearly, they are capable of keeping it up. So it just makes me excited for more. I just want more.
Jennifer, how did you feel about episode 4?
I really liked it. I was a little concerned, though, that they're doing so much so fast. And again, that might have been because they didn't know they were going to have more than 13 episodes. But man, they're just jamming a lot of stuff in there all at once. And well, like it barely had time to absorb what was happening before something else was happening.
That's a very good point. That would be my only complaint about episode four, is I just think there too much was going on. Like, I watched it again today, and I forgot entire subplots. It's just there's so much packed into this episode. That said, I think that the plot in episode four was much better than episode three. The writing, there were so many one-liners in this episode that were just genius. I pulled up a couple of them here. Stuff like, we gave our, Coach Tanaka saying, we gave up our pride when we lost to that school for the deaf. So there's just so much quotable. What were you saying, Ed?
I was going to talk about, like, the reason why it feels so jam-packed is because, like, I imagine in a normal situation, they probably take a week to do an episode. But I heard that it's, like, 2.5 to 3 weeks spent on an episode. And that's why there's so much going on in an episode.
And it can be so tight because it was just really well put together. And I really enjoyed it. I wish I had a chance to watch it again. Actually, I meant to watch it again today. But I really liked it.
It was a good one. There was just a lot going on. So let's kind of...
You can play... Okay, I'm sorry. Can I...
Go ahead.
Okay. You can... Like, I don't know if you're complaining about there's a lot going on, but that's what makes it to where it's, like, great. Because then you need to watch it again to fully process. Like, if it was going slow, you wouldn't enjoy it either, so...
Yeah. No, I agree, but I do think it is on the cusp of where there's so much going on that none of it's getting enough weight. There's so much stuff happening that we're not spending enough time with Rachel leaving the Glee Club and we're not spending enough time.
You're just mad that Rachel didn't get a lot of time again.
No, that is not true. I thought Rachel had exactly enough time in this episode. And I will say there's so much going on in this episode that there were only two songs and they were both less than a minute.
That was the only thing that disappointed me.
Yeah.
And
not enough music.
Not enough singing. And I mean, it was fantastic to hear Tina sing.
Yes.
It was great to, I love how they're giving each of the characters, you know, their kind of, their solo each week. But again, one of the things I love is when they're all singing together and there was barely any of that. Yeah. I mean, the Kurt stuff was great. That was really great.
Well, let's start right off the top. Let's talk about Kurt. So Kurt's big plot this week was that he was kicker for the football team. One of my favorite lines ever. Hello, my name is Kurt and I'll be auditioning for the role of kicker. That was just fantastic. Kurt on the football team as the kicker and doing the single ladies dance. I love Kurt. I think that Kurt is a great character and I love that actor and it's just a lot of fun to see Kurt doing that stuff. Ed, I know you were excited to see Kurt do single ladies. How did that work for you this week?
It was great when the way it started. And my question is, I thought it was great, but why was random cheerleader number three with Kurt and Tina?
I know.
I was like, okay, well, that's cool.
Well, maybe they're maybe the cheerleaders are doing this whole divide and conquer thing. Yeah. Maybe they have to send them out and make sure that all of the Glee members are always at some point with the evil cheerleader. defended him to his dad.
Totally. I liked that because it is starting to feel like even though these three cheerleaders were there to destroy the Glee Club, it's starting to feel like they're becoming members. Like they're kind of, they're turning around and becoming, you know, less conspiratorial and just straight up members of the Glee Club. I'm totally okay with that. But that wasn't true, Ed. I totally caught, like, what is Heather Norris doing there?
Wait, you knew her name?
I don't know why. She's on the... I don't know why.
You're so funny.
I don't remember the other one's name, but I looked it up today. But yeah, so it was weird not to have Kurt singing Single Ladies. That was kind of funny. But he was great dancing to it.
But when they first started the song, I kind of had to stop for a second. Because first of all, I thought I had heard that all of the actors were going to be doing all of the singing in their songs.
True.
But his voice is so high sometimes. I was like, wait, is that him or Beyonce? I thought it was great.
I think it would be too low for Kurt, actually. Yeah. I think that's the problem.
That's a good point. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, the whole storyline surrounding Kurt just seemed very honest.
Yeah.
For him. And I think it was handled so well, everything with him and his dad, and I just really liked it.
I really liked it. And which brings up a really good point. I loved Kurt's dad. Oh. I thought that Kurt's dad was a great character. He showed up exactly like we thought he was going to show up, as, you know, the kind of
burly
uber masculine
man.
You know, yeah. What's his line like? So one of these girls are your girlfriend here, you know, which is obviously not.
And but just he knew fantastic. That's what I'm frustrated by that. If he knew, why was he pretending?
I think it's, I mean, he said it at the end. So at the end of the show, he comes out and he says, you know, I know, which is such a great line where Kurt says, I'm gay. And he says, I know, I've known since you were three. All you wanted for Christmas was sensible heels, which is just genius. And it's Matt Malloy, who we both love from Yesteryear, and because he's from Boston.
Yeah.
but I've always loved Matt Malloy. I think he's a great actor and he's always funny, except in those stupid DirecTV commercials. Yeah. But or Charter Communicator,
you
whatever.
Do better.
But I love him. And I thought that was really cool that he knew, because even though he comes out and says, I know, he immediately follows with, I have to admit, I'm not thrilled with the idea. And I think that it was just, even though he knew, until Kurt came right out and said it, he didn't want to know.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like there was a bit of denial going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe on both of their parts, so.
Oh, definitely. Kurt really did not want to. I mean, he was called out point blank by Finn, where that was another great line where Kurt says, Finn, I need to ask you something. And Finn says, thanks, but I already have a date to prom. But I'm flattered. I know how important dances are to teen gays. And Kurt says, I'm not gay. So even Kurt's kind of in denial. And I thought that was really cool, where it was a moment where they both said, okay, we're not going to have to pretend anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that really bothered you, Ed, or it was just frustrating for you?
I was just confused. I was like, well, why did he even ask? And then, but I love that, he totally played it off, jock chic. I was like,
oh yeah.
That was awesome. I love when he put the helmet on, and then after he had the big kick, he took the helmet off and fixed his hair immediately after.
Yeah. Oh, and the way he said, I did that right.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was just.
Yeah, was that okay?
Was that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was really good. And I think that, like, one of the great things about this show is the dynamics between the characters. Not only how much we love the characters, because the characters are great, but it's the way that they interact with each other. Like, the relationship that Finn has with Kurt is not the same relationship that Finn has with the football players, or that Finn has with Quinn. And a lot of times in a show with this many characters, the show doesn't have enough time to really develop the relationships between the characters. It just has to get through all the characters themselves. And I love the relationship that Kurt and Finn had in this episode, where Finn was very much kind of like amused by Kurt in a way, and kind of like that this was this like a little brother almost. It's like, I just don't want you to get killed, but I'd prefer not to get killed myself in the process. And it was really interesting that towards the end Finn kind of came around to Kurt's side, and he was like, you know what, we have nothing to lose, we need to do the big dance at the end of the game, because
on it,
what
on
is
three.
It what'd you say?
On it on three. That's what he said.
Exactly. That was a great line too. Yeah, and Puck, you know, coming around to it too. His line was to the other football team member, hey, ankle grabber, I had sex with your mother. No, seriously, I cleaned your pool and then I had sex with her in your bed. Nice Star Wars sheets. So, yeah, I mean, Puck is a funny character too, but that was a big thing. So, there was not nearly as much music in this episode, but the, one song that we did get was from, was Tina's first solo. She did Tonight from West Side Story. And here's a clip of, Tina played by Jenna Ushkowitz.
And she didn't stutter.
And tonight.
Oh, we'll start it over.
Sorry.
And what'd you say?
And she didn't stutter.
And she didn't stutter. That's correct.
Tonight, it all began tonight. I saw you and the world went away. Tonight, tonight, there's only you tonight. What you are, what you do, what you say. Today. I know now I was right. what was just a world is a star tonight.
So that was Tina's first big solo. It was really cool to hear her sing because she's like Mercedes. Even when Mercedes isn't the lead, you can hear Mercedes.
Right. And she usually has the intro or she has some part of it.
And this was Tina's first kind of moment.
Yeah.
What did you think of Tina, Ed?
I was glad that she, I was talking to my friends about this. I was like, you know, we've never heard Tina. When are we going to hear Tina? And then they do this. I was like, oh, be good.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing you just said there, Ed. Do you discuss Glee with your friends?
Constantly.
I don't think any of
constantly
our friends
is a bad word, but it's like a weekly conversation. Because. Wow.
So a lot of your friends watch it then?
Yeah. Like, it's actually amazing to me, like, because I usually watch things like American Idol that my generation doesn't really care for.
I was so confused what you were trying to say there, like your gen as in my gen, but you're like, no, your generation.
My generation doesn't care for really. And Glee is like the first thing that's like mainstream for me, I suppose.
Wow.
Even though American Idol is mainstream, which means it not mainstream here. So some kind of like contradictory statement there.
So you say that Glee is mainstream with your group of friends?
Yes.
I don't know a single person that watches it other than us.
Really? Friends online.
Our friends, some of my Twitter followers, you know, a couple of our listeners. But honestly, like, I last night, when I was talking to my mother tonight, my mother's like, what are you doing tonight? And I said, oh, we're going to record our Glee podcast. She says, what's Glee?
Yeah. It was the same thing. I was talking to my parents and I said, yeah, you know, we're going to go. Actually, I said, we're going to go record a podcast. And I forget what they thought I said videos. Something about a quart of vodka. It's not even close. But yeah, nobody knew what Glee was, which is kind of crazy because I don't know how you would escape.
You know, but really, like, even though we say their ratings are really good, I mean, they're only really getting at most 9 million viewers a week, which is a lot. Like,
yeah.
But that isn't everyone.
Yeah, they're getting good. I think they're getting good ratings for a show like Glee. They're not on the same page as a CSI. You know, CSI Nantucket would do better than Glee, but which actually would be kind of entertaining. But I'm sure that like NCIS LA gets better ratings than Glee, but I think for what Glee is and for what its audience is, it must be doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, another big plot in the episode was Sue Sylvester trying to take or continuing to try to take over Glee. It starts with Sue Sylvester as a commentator on the local news and her ratings starting to fall because Glee is getting more powerful than her cheerleaders. And so they say, you need to take it down. Her plan to take down Glee now is she blackmails the principal into letting Sandy be the artistic director. And then Sandy, starts a school play, which he casts Rachel Berry in the lead to draw her away from the Glee Club. So it's very complicated what's going on. Let's take it from the top. Sue Sylvester as a commentator on the local news. Absolutely genius. Yes, we Kane. Genius.
yes, we Kane.
So that, good.
She was hilarious. I love Sue.
You would, we were talking before, Ed, how much you love Sue. She's a great character.
I love all the characters. I don't know that I'm not supposed to love them. Like, I'm over the main cast. Like, I'm in Puck, Terry's sister.
Terry's sister. Sandy. Good lord.
I'm like in love with everyone I'm not supposed to be in love with. I'm pretty sure right now.
Sue's quote in her second, Sue Sylvester, or what her second piece on the local news was, I often yell at homeless people, hey, how's that homelessness working out for you? Give not being homeless a try.
No, her best line of the night, which I tweeted this last night, so I didn't forget. That's why garbage men can have jobs to buy tacos for their families.
Wait, say that one more time.
Oh, you cut out.
Oh, sorry. That's why I pay my taxes, so that garbage men can have jobs to buy tacos for their families.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. It was racist.
Oh, so good.
It bothered me, But it was amazing.
She had a, when I was rewatching it tonight, she had a great, like, one of the great things about this show is when I watch it again, I pick up so many more jokes. And one of the great ones was just a total throwaway at the beginning of the show when she's talking about being on the local news. And she says something about like, oh, and just so you know, the overnights are really good. And Emma says, wow. And she says, yeah, that is impressive. It's impressive, isn't it, Alma? And Emma kind of rolls her eyes at her.
Oh, she's been calling her Alma.
She does it all the time? Emma.
I never caught that. That's genius.
Well, there's so many things you got. Like, you didn't even know that Tina stuttered.
I did not pick up on Tina stuttering until, like, the last episode.
Okay, and Ed, did you notice on the very first episode, like, Tina's stuttering came out in her handwriting when she was signing up on the sign-up sheet quickly?
Yeah.
T-T-T-Tina.
Yeah, he's like, T-T-Tina C. I kissed a girl.
Yes, I mean, she spoke it, but she also wrote it, and I thought that was hysterical.
That's really funny. Does she have a last name, or is she just Tina C? I have to look.
We don't talk about that till we meet her fam, which we will.
Oh, really?
Oh. No, I don't know. You know who's going to meet, though, is Rachel Berry's father's. I don't know why, but that's going to happen, so I'm just waiting patiently.
I thought of that because I'm like, it's interesting that they showed pictures of them, but they've never shown them in person, and I wonder if they'll get the same two actors to...
I bet they will. I'm 90% positive on that.
So, speaking of her two dads and the pilot, she says, and they mixed their sperm and impregnated a woman, so I actually don't know which one's my father. Now, is that supposed to be a joke? Because she obviously is the white one.
The other one's clearly
all right.
Not her father.
That's pretty awesome.
But, like, it could be like an inside, like a family joke. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
We can't tell.
And that's another one of just the great, like, quirky elements of the show is how, you know, just total throwaways. Like, she has two gay dads, and they mention it once, and it just goes away. Except for Sue's quote, gay parents make children rebellious. There's studies on that. Yeah. So we were talking about Sue trying to take over Glee. Putting Sandy as artistic director of the school, I think, is really... It just is rife for comedy. That's quite good. But she has that great line where Sandy says, how are we going to lure Rachel Berry away from Glee? And she says four words, Liza Minnelli, Celine Dion. And I wonder what's going to happen. You know, do you think that Sandy is going to continue to just tweak out the artistic department? Or do you think that this is just going to go away? Like Ed, what do you think is going to happen with this school play plot?
I think she's either the play is going to disappear or she's going to do both.
Okay. Cause I mean, they haven't told us what the play is.
It doesn't really matter. She's like, I bet it's like a one woman show that he just like wrote for her.
Yeah.
Like, you sing this song, you sing this song, you sing this song. Yay.
Exactly. And they're all Celine Dion songs. It's interesting to see if this school play is going to stick around. She has some... I found myself torn in this episode between, is she being selfish or does she have a point in wanting this lead?
I think she wouldn't mind giving up her lead, but it's the Jewish thing. This is her role. West Side Story. This is her.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah.
So, I think she would be less offended if she didn't get other, like, she was offended when she didn't get the Don't Stop Believing solo, but she was like, she didn't quit over it.
Yeah.
But this is her. She identifies with this person.
Yeah, she said, I've identified with this character since the age of one. I mean, what did you think, Jennifer? Like, did you think she was being selfish or did you think she had a point?
I kind of go back and forth. Mostly I think she's being selfish. But... You know, but that's what, you know, this is what she's been good at. And this is the way she kind of stands out. It's the only thing that she thinks makes her worthwhile in high school. So that aside, though, I do think she's being kind of selfish. And I mean, I think she's okay when they, you know, sing together. But if anybody else gets the spotlight, it's more of a reflection of her than their abilities.
And on the other side, I mean, I kind of felt the same way. I'm definitely torn. On the other side, I mean, Mr. Schuster could be making this point, because I think he has a good point, where, like, other people need to have solos too, because they're just going to be letting you do all the work. But he could be making this point with a song she's not so emotionally attached to.
Mm-hmm. Well, she could make that. I have a feeling she would make that argument with any song.
Yeah.
It would be, that's the song I record every night in my bedroom mirror with my hairbrush. That's the first song that I posted on YouTube. That's the first song that I performed on stage. And I think she'll always make an argument for that. I think that's just who she is.
Yeah. And there's a certain blackmail that she's giving to Mr. Schuster that's like, you know, I'm the best. I know I'm the best. If you don't give me this song,
I walk. Yeah.
So she kind of put him on at a point where I was happy that he did let Tina do the song. Like, in the end, Tina got the solo.
But the thing is, too, like, I like how he pointed out that to Tina that, you know, the more confidence she gets, the less she stutters. And I like how he's doing more than just mold the Glee Club. He's molding the individuals. He's trying to give something back to each of the students so that, you know, they come away with something, and not just they have an award-winning team. It's, you know, that the students are actually growing.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thesis statement for the show, is definitely being yourself and finding your strength. And Tina needs to do that just as much as anybody else. And it's cool. I mean, I want to see all these characters grow. I mean, much like you said last week, Ed, if this show is just a showcase of how great Lea Michele is, it's going to get pretty boring after a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Rachel left Glee. She, auditioned with Taking Chances, which who originally recorded Taking Chances?
That's a Platinum Weird song, which is Cara DioGuardi's band. Yes. What's funny about that song is she went into the studio with, I forgot who it was.
Dave Gibbons.
And they were hired to write, stuff for Pussycat Dolls' upcoming album. And that's the song that they came out with. Yeah. And they were like, oh, well, they got stars. And then Celine Dion got it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I knew that Cara DioGuardi wrote it, but I didn't know who she wrote it for. I have the Platinum Weird album, but I don't remember this song. Anyway, this is Taking Chances, sung by Lea Michele, written by Cara DioGuardi. Maybe it's not meant to last. But what do you say to taking chances? What do you say to jumping off the edge? Never knowing if there's solid ground below, or hand to hold, or hell to pay. What do you say? Yeah, I mean, that was my biggest disappointment with this episode, was even though we had this song, we only heard about 12 bars of it. And then it was, you know, right into the, well, it was just kind of the very end of the song, but it was really well done. I just looked, this isn't on the Platinum Weird album that I have, so that's kind of wacky.
I don't know. I was looking for that too.
But anyway, so that... Really, the last plot we haven't discussed, which some might argue was probably the most shocking plot of the episode, Quinn is pregnant, and or at least it seems that she's pregnant. She goes ahead and claims that it's Finn's baby because of when they were making out in the jacuzzi. It terrifies me that there are children in America that think you can get pregnant via a jacuzzi, but I know that that's a common misbelief.
You know, when I was watching this, I was like, is that possible? I was just like, no, that doesn't even make sense.
I'm going to go ahead and say, for the record, it's not possible. And if I'm wrong, send me hate mail because I deserve it. But seriously, no.
I don't think it's possible.
I've heard...
There's far too many obstacles.
I've been told that before. Like, I've read in, like, celibacy literature that that's possible. But I'm going to Google it right now. So, what did you guys think? Like, you both thought it was a dream when they first mentioned it.
Absolutely. I thought there was no way. I mean, she's the president of the celibacy club. I can't even say the word.
Yeah, and then I knew he didn't sleep with her. So I knew there had to be something that we didn't know. Yeah. Immaculate conception, possibly.
Yeah. I thought, okay, well, maybe... He's not the brightest bulb. So I thought maybe this was another way that she was trying to tear down Glee by, you know, throwing him off and, you know, just kind of messing with his head.
Quinn is a nice, good person. Okay.
She got pregnant by his best friend.
Yeah, she did. She got pregnant from Puck. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
She slept with his best friend.
I'm less surprised by that, though, than other things.
The jacuzzi, yeah.
Wait, so which one are you less surprised? You're less surprised that she got pregnant by Puck than what?
Than, like, any other possibility that I could think of.
Yeah.
But it's so convenient for Terry, so it's okay.
Yeah, so that seems to be what's going to happen, is Terry is going to... It seems like Terry's going to try to take this baby. God, Terry's great line was, are you on prenatal vitamins? You have to be on them or your baby will be ugly.
Yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah, so it appears that somehow Terry is going to try to get Quinn's baby.
But Quinn lives in her cheerleading outfit. How is she going to hide this for 9 months?
I know. And Terry actually said, like, how far along are you? You look about 4 weeks. And I'm thinking, how can you tell?
Yeah.
Well, the woman weighs about 8 pounds.
It doesn't matter. Like, she's not afraid of people knowing that she's pregnant. Like, she was going to have it regardless. So she's not afraid of that.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to do it anyway.
Tell Finn that she wants to give it up for adoption because they don't. She doesn't want to ruin either of their futures or something.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I think she still believes in some of the principles behind the celibacy club, I think, other than just not having sex part. like I don't think she would terminate the pregnancy. I think she'll still have the baby either way, whether they keep it. But yeah, like, her big thing is she doesn't want to be stuck in that town.
Yeah, that was actually kind of heartbreaking because
that
was a sentiment I remember thinking a lot in high school where it was like, what is that thing that could happen where I would never get out of Ventura? And I know that that's a common sentiment that people have, but if she had just come out and said, I don't want my life to be over because I'm pregnant or whatever. I mean, Finn said it too in his conversation with Mr. Schuster, that it was one of the more heartbreaking elements of the episode where he's like, I see guys that get pregnant in high school and they're pumping gas and they're working, you know, they're working in local shops and he doesn't want to be that. He wants to be something better. You know, that was a really heart tugging moment.
Yeah. But how it's going to destroy Finn when he finds out it's not
it
his.
It really is. Yeah.
And it's his best friend.
And is he going to find out or is she?
But I know, I know we assume he's going to find out, but just because we know doesn't mean because she's going to want it to disappear and then.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. I don't know.
So in real life, he wouldn't find out, but on television, he has to find out.
You know,
I don't know if he has to.
I think
I feel so bad for Finn. Within 4 episodes, he's been accused of pot he didn't smoke, and pregnancy he didn't cause in four episodes.
So Finn gets accused of all these awesome things he never actually took part in.
Yes.
Oh, and the poor guy, he's a little simple and he falls for it. But the thing is, Puck was so close to giving her up right now. When it gets further into the pregnancy and, you know, if that for whatever reason brings Finn and Quinn even closer, there's no way he's going to sit idly by.
That's an interesting element of Puck's character, too, where, like, he comes off as a character that would want to take the first opportunity to not have to take ownership of this pregnancy. But he's coming out and saying, look, my dad wasn't around, which means I'm not going to be that guy. I want to be a part of this. I want to take care of you. I think that we might actually be finding out a bit about Puck where maybe he has feelings for Quinn that he hasn't quite let on about.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. And Quinn has that great line where she says, I had sex with you because you got me drunk on wine coolers and I was feeling fat that day.
Yes.
Apparently that's all it takes. Ed, take notes. So according to medhelp.org, young daughter and she visits neighbors' pools and jacuzzis. It may seem silly, but when she asked if she could get pregnant from swimming in a pool spa that someone had sex in, I didn't think so, but I am not really positive. Is it possible? Answer, no. Good to know.
That is the doctor's answer.
The doctor's answer. Kevin Kennedy, PhD.
No,
it isn't possible.
Wow.
Hey, it needs to be addressed, okay? It's best that it's addressed now then.
Yeah.
Well, later.
How many people were probably freaking out after watching this episode?
Like, I know.
Oh my God.
16-year-old kids across the country went, wait a minute. Crap.
There's no way. The temperature of the water, the chemicals in the water.
Yeah, there's no way.
Not to mention the trajectory. So many things.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and, you know, how many of our friends tried for months to get pregnant? But you know, there's always those people that are like, damn, one time. So we're way off topic now. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. I'm really fascinated by this love triangle. We got a great email from a listener whose name was Camille. I'm sorry. It's so hard for me to say that name and not say it like Bill Cosby, but it's a gorgeous name, and so I'm sorry for that. So listener Camille, thank you so much for emailing us. She said she was watching Preggers and thought it was amazing. Much better than last week's, which we I think all agreed with. I said, still not focusing on the actual Glee Club as much as the pilot seemed to, and where was Rachel through all of it? I know this one was mainly a Kurt Finn episode, no pun intended. I don't really get what the pun was.
As a couple. Or,
yeah. Good point. See, that's why I keep you guys around. But she says, I thought we would see more of her. This is getting to be soap opera-ish with Quinn, Finn, Puck.
Oh, I read that wrong in my head.
What did you read?
Oh,
that the triangle was in the wrong direction?
No. I messed up the F and the P.
Oh, that's true. What are these names? Quinn, Finn, and Puck.
It's an accident waiting to happen.
When are either of these diabolical girls going to speak up?
Yeah.
So thank you very much, listener Camille. If you'd like to email us, you can do so. We'll give the emails at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But she says, I love seeing single ladies dance from Kurt.
Ugh, and I think we all awesome. Love that too.
So, I think that's pretty much it for episode Preggers.
There's a scene you completely skipped.
What did I miss?
It makes me mad that you, no, not mad. Just kidding.
Okay, give me a second. What did I miss? Quinn, single ladies, football.
Lamaze practice.
We didn't talk about that, but that wasn't what I was talking about.
Oh, because we mentioned Terry's crazy sister who gets crazier by the minute.
Everybody needs a sister or a friend
that. You did not mention one time Sandy being kimono.
Oh my god!
That scene, we did not talk about that scene, and that was the best scene in the episode. It's like the most underrated best scene. That's like how I described
it. Oh,
Sandy
Sue's
in a kimono.
He's
got all of his dolls, and he says, these are my life, and she says, that is perfectly normal. or beautiful and normal or something.
Oh,
like
God. Oh,
yeah, that's normal. And then she's like, all you need is some, like, rotting dead bodies lining the floor or something.
Oh, that's right.
That is true. And you love Sandy, so I'm sorry, Ed, for missing that.
I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know why I do.
Because he's awesome. He's and because it's Stephen Tavelowski.
I need to get some quotes out that needs to be said because we didn't discuss them.
Go ahead, Ed. Take the lead.
For Kurt, my body is like a warm chocolate souffle, and if I don't warm it up right, it just doesn't rise. I was like, oh my God. That was hilarious.
So good.
And then for Artie, he hasn't had a solo, but he has had a solo. But it was right when Rachel Berry leaves.
Oh, this one's
like,
great,
the more
yes.
The storms out of rehearsal, the less impact it has.
Yes.
And then, wasn't there like a hurricane reference right after that? Maybe there wasn't. Maybe that was just in my head.
I don't remember, but yes, that was a great line. The more time she storms out of rehearsal, the less impact it has.
Man, it's only been 48 hours and I need to rewatch this. So
I know, I've only watched
it
once, but I was really trying to pay attention. And we also didn't discuss the amazing chair that was in Kurt's bedroom. Like, it stole the scene. Like, I know the father and Kurt were like crying and being happy, but if you look to the right, there's this amazing chair.
It was like suspended from the ceiling or something.
Yeah, it was like white and amazing.
Oh God.
And if you look in the mirror, I remember this. I don't know why. But if you look in the mirror, he's putting on his after game ritual face cleansing.
Yes.
There's a Mac with the default Mac screen. I don't know why, but that was just like
Mac. Funny.
Well, there you go.
Crazy insight from Ed.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
That's
Thank
why
you.
We. That's why podcasts are fun because they remind you of the things you totally would have missed. what was this? Terry said to her sister, "If I tell you something, do you promise not to tell anyone?" And her sister said, "Oh my God, is the baby black?" which we both,
I love that was her reaction,
which was funny in the show. But if you watch Nip Tuck, the actress who plays Terry was in Nip Tuck, and she claimed to be pregnant with Dr. Christian Troy's baby. And when the baby was born, it was black.
And that was my first thought. I started laughing.
Oh, see, that's like an inside thing that
I don't know if it's an inside joke, but it was pretty funny. Because, when Wilbur was born, he was black. And then that was a character. Yeah. Wilbur, the baby, stuck with us for... Well,
oh, really?
To the... So far. You haven't seen all the episodes, but Wilbur is actually still a main character in the show. So, so I guess that's it then for episode Preggers, episode 4 of Glee. Thank you for joining us for episode 4 of Gleeful. If you'd like to, listen to more from Josh, Jen, and Ed, you can check in with our other podcast. Jen and my other podcast is entitled, The Idol Review. How did I forget that?
I don't know. I was ready to jump in.
Our other show is entitled The Idol Review. You can find it on iTunes, or you can go to www.theidolreview.com. Ed, would you like to tell the people about your other show?
My other show is American Idol 7 in Heaven. Just search for it on iTunes. I want to give a quick shout out to... the three most recent people to review us on iTunes, The Fail Whale, Ashley, and Viv Nemo. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes. And if you have time and you're listening to us and you don't hate us, even if you hate us, I suppose you can review us on iTunes.
Please review us on iTunes because the feedback is fantastic. You can email us. You can email Josh and Jen at info@theidolreview.com. And you can email Ed at ai7inheaven@gmail.com. And we should have an email.
You should put those
show.
In our... comments for the episode.
I shall do so. That's a good idea. We will be back next week with what's the title of the episode next week? It's The Road Not Taken, I believe, is the title of the episode next week. So, are The Roads Not Taken? What's it called, Ed?
I don't know. I was like, oh, I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
Bring me that.
The Roads Not Taken. Roads, R-H-O-D-E-S.
Oh, yeah. I remember because it's named after a character.
Oh, it's named after Christian Chenoweth.
I can't wait.
We've got Christian Chenoweth next week, which is so exciting.
I love her.
So exciting.
Can you remind, like, why do I know this name?
Pushing Daisies.
You... Oh, okay.
Wicked.
Whoa, wait. You're not allowed to react in that fashion. You were not allowed to go, oh, Pushing Daisies.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that show that got canceled. Yeah,
I will crawl through this Skype stream. I swear to God.
It did get canceled. It's not my fault.
Ed, we're going to have... I don't know if I can talk to you anymore. We might have to replace you. Okay. We can't replace you. There's no replacing you. This show was half your idea.
Ed, don't worry. He's been making those threats to me for the last 5 years. We're getting married in 2 weeks, so there you go.
I know we're done, but I want to do Tweet of the Week from Rachel Berry.
Oh, go ahead.
Wouldn't a vampire diary be really, really long? After all, they're immortal.
Nice.
That's all. That was her tweet for the week.
Well, awesome. Yeah, we'll have to get into some of the other tweets. A couple of the main characters have Twitters, so we'll have to get into that on one of the episodes. It's very true. All right, well, for Josh, Jen, and Ed and the Gleeful Podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed. Jazz hands. Peace out. Om Glee.
Om Glee. Thank you for listening to Gleeful. We'll be back next week with the episode The Road's Not Taken. And for Josh, Jen, and Ed, we're out. Jazz hands.